Hey, what's up? Really nervous, super nervous. This is Go From There. This is your host, Trevante Jaramillo, in T-Radio V Studios, TrevorRocksDenver.com. Trying to come and have an interview with Mr. Trevor O'Connor today, and he totally blindsides me with, like, hey, let's actually do it in my awesome Joe Rogan-esque studio, and I can't be more excited right now. This is amazing. How's it going, man?
It's good. How are you?
I'm seriously nervous. There's cameras. There's fuzzy red hats. There's Barbie dolls. That's weird.
I took stripper Barbie down.
Where's all the Batman shit?
Oh, in my office. There's a Batman on that camera.
Oh, right on.
There's a Batman over there. There's like 12 of them in my office. Huh?
Look at Barbie.
Oh.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, she fell.
Let me start off by saying this. I apparently didn't know half of the scope of what you do at this station.
Okay.
I kind of thought you were just this dude that, like, you know, he's a music guy. He, you know, screams about the music scene. His girlfriend hates him. Like, I didn't really understand, like, how much stuff goes on here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you to go through all of it, but, like, how many shows do you have going on here right now?
One, two, three, four.
Now, don't worry. I'm just a guest. You don't have to deal with me ever again.
20.
It's going to be terrible.
25 shows.
Jesus. And you said something like 45 hours of live programming a
week?
Yeah,
a little over 45 hours of live programming a week out of the studio.
How did you get into doing all this? Like, is it all talk and like some music stuff? Or
There's political talk. There's an insanely crazy sex show. really crazy.
Is that this one?
No. Oh, okay. No, not this one.
All right. Just checking.
It'll be later.
Oh, okay.
Later. Like, not right now, but later.
Okay.
No, there's a political lobbyist. There's a small business chamber startup show. There's comic shows, local comedians, national comedians. Steve Mudflat McGrew, who is a national comedian.
Right.
Comedy Central special, headlining Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Been out on the road with all the big boys. He does a show from here.
Did you have Willie Barsena in here, or was he at the L.A. thing?
He's in L.A.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite comics. Like, he's not super well-known, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he came up with, like, George Lopez and all those guys, but I just saw that he has a podcast now, and it was from the same station, but
T-Radio V.
Yeah.
There are three T-Radio V stations. There's T-Radio V San Francisco, T-Radio V LA, and T-Radio V Denver.
Okay.
Denver is my station.
I know.
And then
I'm in Denver, I know.
Right. I'm
just kidding. how did you get into this? Like, were you the one that started all this, or was this kind of like existing, or?
This has been like a 5-year process. And what it is my partner, Mike Zinna, who was, thank you, Verve Energy Drinks.
I dig it.
Mike Zinna was an AM talk radio political guy who just was hated, loved to be hated.
Right.
Very over the top. He's the guy that busted the Jefferson County workers several years back when they were punching in and going home, or the three-hour lunches at the strip club.
Right.
He was
or
the journalist
taking a nap in some alleyway or something.
Yeah, yeah. He was the journalist that busted them.
Why would he even bother? Like
that he was an investigative reporter at the time. That's what he did.
Still, but okay. Go ahead.
And it's a lot of taxpayer money that was just really
that's true. I guess
going down the tubes.
Right.
So after that, he work through all of the AM talk radio, some of the FM talk radio stations, and just couldn't say what he wanted to say, how he wanted to say it. Because of censorship. And then, of course, you know, big corporate radio is backed by big sponsor money.
Right. And you can't really go outside their box.
Right. If they have beliefs that run a certain way and your beliefs don't run that way and they hear you talking counterintuitive to what they want to say, they pull their advertising.
Yeah, and that's it. You're done.
Right. And advertising drives every form of radio.
Right. I do want to talk about that a little bit with this too. But so what happened to him? He goes away? Or?
No, he's pissed off, and he wants to be able to talk, and he wants to be able to do the things he does.
Okay.
So we come up with WKRPradio.com.
Okay.
We build a studio, and there's like one or two shows. Is she yelling at us? See?
No, I thought she was waving.
She's probably yelling at us.
I'm panicking. I don't I usually have like three people, but it's in my own room.
Right.
Two mics, and I know who everybody is, and she's waving her arms in there.
She's she's probably mad at me.
That's fair enough. We'll get into that, too.
So anyway, built the studio, and there's like one or two shows here. Yeah. I wasn't even involved.
Okay.
Okay. There's a radio – there's a music show that comes on the station. At the time, I was producing and promoting live shows.
Okay.
That's what I was doing for a living.
Mm-hmm.
One of the artists I was working with, I had gotten an interview on WKRPradio.com with their music show.
Okay.
So I came down, and the co-host didn't show up for the show that night.
Oh, so you got to play Second Banana?
Right, so they asked me to sit in. So I sat in on the interview, and it went really well, obviously, right. Because I knew the artist.
Yeah, so and, you know how to ask.
Right,
know,
I knew how.
Not
I,
just the basic, how's it like to do
sure.
it?
Sure. You know? After the show, Mike Zinna and the host at the time of the show asked me to stick around, and they wanted to chat. So I chatted with him a little bit, and they asked if I would mind once in a while coming down and special guest co-hosting a show when one or the other host or co-host couldn't make it. And
sweet.
I said, sure, that'd be no problem. Well, that turned out to be like three times, four times a week.
Sweet. They were doing it every day?
Yeah, they were doing a daily music show.
Where was this guy hanging out at? Like, you said you were filling in. Where were they at? They're just like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, this, you know, things come up, I guess, you know.
Right. But you were in.
Like, I was like, sure, yeah, I'll do it. And at that time, all the wheels were turning in my head. I was like, you know what, I'm going to get in there.
Yeah.
I was at the end of my promoting career. I was kind of done with it because so many shitbag promoters had come on the scene and made it so dirty, and it was the money.
Like what time frame was this? Like you said this has been going on for like 5 years. Like how long before
This is about 5 years back.
How long before that were you doing the promoting?
For 10 years before that, roughly.
Jesus, what are you, like 55?
I'm 40, man.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm old.
You look good, sir.
Well.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
You're lucky back there. Just kidding.
She's like, I marry young.
Good for you.
It makes me look good.
Good for both of you.
So, yeah.
So 10 years. So you were doing it like
25
late,
to 35.
Late 90s, early 2000s. Like,
yeah.
What kind of music were you doing? Is anything? Or?
Rock. I did 311 in Greeley.
Mm-hmm.
When they were at the State Armory, the bar, the armory up in Greeley.
Right.
I did the Samples on campus.
Okay.
In Greeley is a big show.
Did you used to work with anybody that like what's your favorite type of music?
Rock.
Like
rock get, rock. Get like my favorite band of all time is Nirvana, followed quickly by the Foo Fighters.
Okay. Did you ever get to work with anybody that you were like super into? Like
I never produced or promoted like big shows.
Okay.
Because at the time you didn't mess with Barry Fay or Chuck Morris. You stayed out of their kitchen.
Right.
You know, play down where you belong.
Well, so
and still make money.
How did that go? Like you do just bar gigs and you get paid like commission? Like I don't know how promoting works, so I don't know how a lot of things work.
Here's how I did it. And here's how I still believe it should be done. A lot of people argue with me or speak to the contrary, but this is how I did it. I had relationships with several small venues and large bars.
Okay.
Okay. So over years, I built yeah. relationships with them. But what I would do is I would go and I would find three bands that I thought would be a great show that I would want to see.
Right.
You know, local to mildly regional bands.
Right.
So I would go to band A, who I thought is my headliner. And I'd already researched them. I know that they draw. I know that this is a show, this is a band that people want to see. I've seen their street work. I know that that they would get out and promote their stuff. This is before Facebook,
right?
So I'd go to band A, which is my headliner, and I'd say, "Hey guys, I really love what you're doing. I'm putting the show together. It's going to be a three band show. I want you guys to be the headliner. I will pay you a guarantee of X amount of dollars to play the show."
Mm-hmm.
In return, if you could help me out, I'll pay for the printing. If you guys could help me out with some street team stuff, make sure that you really push it to your fans, let them know it's coming up. You know, do what you do now. That's why I came to you. And they'd say, yeah, okay, we'll play for that.
Okay.
Or they'd counter offer, or we'd work.
Did
out
you
a
offer
deal.
Like bonuses if it got bigger than that, or was it always just that set dollar amount?
I stuck with a very 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 fair guarantee.
So you just, you were like, I'm not going to mess with, you know, like hitting a line or whatever. I'll just pay you nice right now and just come and do it.
Okay. Right. They knew
seems right. I mean,
they knew they were getting paid.
Well, okay. I was going to kind of maybe go into this later on, but
okay.
What for? I mean, one thing that, like, I don't even remember how I saw you first. It was on Facebook, whatever, but I can't remember, like, what thread I saw you make a comment on or whatever.
It was probably something rude that I said.
No, it was I think it's something funny that you said, and then I was like, I was like, ah, that's funny, you know, just be friends. And what was surprising about you, like, I started looking at your stuff and, like, okay, radio station, you know, all this is going on. And then you started talking about how there's all these shitbag promoters in the Denver area.
Right.
And what I thought was weird about you is, like, you don't, like, a lot of people scream and yell about how, you know, something's, like, not not right, there's injustice, whatever. But you, like, straight out call dudes out. Like,
yeah, that's how you do it. Yes, they hate me.
Well, does it cause problems for you? Like, I realize that, like, that you're kind of, like, untouchable, sort of, right here. Like, you have sponsors and stuff like that. But, like, for the most part, you could do this and, you know, it would continue on regardless of whoever got mad at you or whatever. Like,
people get mad at me.
Well, what happens? Like, okay. The last one you said, it was one of those things, and this is what I agree with you on this whole thing about, you know, promoting a show like that. Because I didn't realize that what promoting has devolved into is throwing up an event on Facebook and that's the end of it.
Well, what promoting has become is a jackass who's in a band,
okay,
who wants to headline shows, then creates a promotion company,
right,
goes to venues and basically rents a night at the venue, making his band the headliner. And then putting an invite saying, hey, guys, I've got a date at, you know, through my promotion company, blah, 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 Productions. I've got a date at, we'll say, the Roxy Theater.
Right.
Right down the street from here, like two blocks
down. Yeah, where my buddy's Ancient Wind will be playing in a month or so.
Right.
So I'll have give to him show a plug. Guys,
yeah, for sure. Well, then what they do is they don't do any of the research. They don't do any of the work. They don't do what a promoter does. They just put it up, and they'll take seven bands. The first seven, eight bands that reply, we'd like to play that show, they put them on the bill. No pre-work, no research, no putting a lineup together. You know, they're not calling bands and saying, hey, we think you'd be great on a bill with us. Let's put this show together. It's whoever takes the bill. But then it's followed up with, also to play the show, here's 75 tickets. You need to pre-sell those before the show.
Jesus. And then if they don't sell, they drop them off the bill, right? Like last minute? Is that
they either drop them off the bill, or you have to hand them the money for the tickets that you sold, and then they count it down, and then the remainder of the tickets you buy.
Jesus.
That's called pay to play.
Yeah.
So as a promoter, they did nothing.
That's even more seedy than what was happening. Okay, I'm from Glenwood Springs, okay?
Okay.
Small town, no musical venues. Like, there's the Eagles Club back there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only place that we have, and I say we, like, you know, any kind of thing. They do stand-up, right. They got rap, they got
anything that's going to happen has to happen there.
Before the trustees changed hands, all of it was pay-for-play. And
so you rented a room.
Rented a room, but it wasn't even based on ticket sales. They were like, no, you want to rent the room, it's X amount.
Like, that's how the venue does it here. The Roxy will rent it to blah, blah, blah promotions.
Right.
For X amount of dollars.
Right. But do they do anything after the fact? Or
the venue?
Yeah.
No. The venue's been rented out for an event.
So is that good then? Like,
no, it's fucking stupid.
Okay. Because I always thought that was shitty. Like, because, I mean, in fairness, like, okay, metal is our thing up there.
Okay.
Super saturated scene out here, right? Mm-hmm. Over there, also saturated, but with shitty bands. Like, none of the metal bands that are in my area are any good, except for Ancient Wind. And that's a little biased because they're my friends, but I want them to stink so bad, and they just don't. They're
right.
You know, like, I want to hate them, and I want
to... You're finding a reason to hate them, and you can't?
No, I can hate them. I just...
I feel that same way about...
I'm just bothered that they're any good, you know?
I feel that same way about Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
I want to fucking hate him.
But you just can't.
I can't. Because he keeps showing up and doing shit right.
Yeah, that's true. He does have a weird knack of just, like, he's like, oh, I'm going to do that, boom, and then just drop to the bottom. He's like, I'm going to go over here and fuck my beautiful wife for 5 years, and then maybe I'll come back and do a single. It'll be gigantic.
Right. And I'm going to do a movie. I'm going to carry a movie as a lead actor.
Right.
I'm going to do – I mean, I want to hate him so fucking bad, but I can't.
Do you secretly want to be him?
I would. I would trade to be him.
Okay. What do you think about that?
I kind of like you the way you are.
Good answer.
Boo. Now, Kristen, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to kind of direct
this. Go ahead.
This. Like, you guys are gross. Like, couple. Like,
thanks.
Real quick, I just want to say that.
Sure.
I think it's cool that you guys are actually kind of, like, nice to each other. I thought she hated you, like, for real.
That's, like, when people aren't around?
I don't know.
She hates me.
Oh, okay.
You're here.
That is untrue.
No, she's awesome. She really is. She really is. She treats me all. I use her as material that I make up in my head. And put her name on it all the time.
All the time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the promoting thing. Like, okay, I did think that that was shit the way they did that. And that's what happens here now? Like, they don't even...
Yeah.
Well, how's it supposed to go? The way you did it? Or is there, like, another better way to do
it? In my opinion, yeah, that's how you do it. Finishing off my thought that we went on a tangent on because I have ADD really bad.
Dude, I make these circles that never fucking close.
So I would go to band A, offer them the heaviest guarantee.
Right,
because they're my headliner. I'm expecting them to draw. Then I go to band B, who's my feature. They're almost a headliner. They're busting their, you know, they're right there. They're on the precipice. And I offer them less money but still decent money to play the show.
Right.
A guarantee. I will guarantee you this. Same deal. I need you guys to help. You know, I'll pay for all the printing. I'll take care of advertising. But I need you guys to help push.
Right.
Because that's what the relationship is.
And did it work? Like...
Absolutely. And then I would
nobody ever had beef with it. They're like,
I would go to band C and I would say, band C is my opening band.
Okay.
It's a young upstart band or a band that's, you know, just kind of breaking into the scene that I think because my research that I think that they're going to be an up and comer. And I want to put them in front of fans of similar bands. So bands A and B.
Right. Make a little network out of
right.
it.
Right. I offer them substantially less than my headliner.
So all your bands get a guarantee.
But a guarantee. And that's why the relationship works.
Hard to argue with that. I mean,
because you know exactly what you're getting paid.
Right.
No questions. No, if I do this, then that. It's you play, you get paid.
Now, another thing that I was talking to my buddy Rob about the way they're doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Another shitty part about that is, like, if you don't, you know, draw, you don't sell your tickets, and they knock you off the bill,
uh-huh.
They never say that. We knocked him off the bill. It just looks like you canceled the last
you
second.
Just didn't show up.
Yeah,
or,
so you look like shit.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into the way I promoted and still promote a little bit.
Right.
Okay. So I've got these three bands. I've offered them all a guarantee. I take that show and I go to the venue that I had in mind for the show and I pitch it to them. And I say, hey, guys, I want to do a show in your venue on this date. Do you have it open? Yeah, we have it open. How much? And they say, you can have the venue for X amount of dollars. And I worked out relationships with some of the venues over years where they'd say, you take the door, I'll take the bar.
Right.
Because they knew I put shows on
that drew
yeah. and sold booze.
Yeah.
You know, but when I first started, they would say, you know what, I need $500.
Right.
To rent the room to you.
Well, that's fair enough at the beginning. I
mean, right, because they don't know if I'm going to draw. They right. don't know. They've got to be able to pay their staff. They've got to cover their nut. Right. For the night. So then I now have three bands worth of guarantees that I have to pay. I have to pay the venue and I have to pay advertising, printing costs, everything like that. Okay? That's all on me.
Right.
The upside is that I'm hoping that I can sell the place out, pay off my three bands, pay my venue off, and everything else is mine.
Yeah.
And I had absolutely no problem telling bands, I do this for a living.
Right.
This is what I do. I have to feed my kids. I got to live. That's why I'm offering you this guarantee. It's giving you the opportunity to look at it and say, is this a good deal for our band right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
We know what we're getting paid. Is this what we're worth? Yes. All right. We've got a deal. There's no hard feelings. If your band came as my headliner and I offered you $1,000 and my deal was when we walked into the venue, before we opened doors, I walked up to you, I reached in my pocket, and I handed you your $1,000. I walked up to band B, and I handed them their $700. I walked up to Band C, and I handed them their $250.
So you made it all right before anything even goes down.
I paid them before the doors opened.
Yeah.
Why? Because then the business transaction is over.
Yeah. Now it's just up from here.
Now it's time. I paid
Did you ever lose your ass on this at all? Like,
absolutely.
what would hurt you? Like on one that went bad, like what would hurt? Just people wouldn't come, or research was wrong, or what?
The research was wrong. I was up against a show that didn't book until after I did, that was drawing away from me. A semi-national or national came in town and, you know, last minute and booked something big that was going to take away from the draw. Weather.
Yeah.
What was
like the most?
Or a band didn't do their part.
Oh, okay.
They knew they were getting paid a guarantee. So they sat back and did nothing. And that's how I did business, though. I paid you, and I paid my venue, and then...
Well, then it's also good because, like, you know, after one shot, if you're going to work with these people again.
And that was the thing. I was very upfront and honest about that. And I said, I will tell you what. I've done the research. I think you're a great band. I think we're going to do a great show. These are my expectations. What are your expectations? Okay, we both agree that that's what we're going to do.
Right.
If night of show... The proof is in the pudding, and you didn't do what you said, you're no longer a headliner for me.
Right. Done. Let me fast forward a little bit back to that post. Like, okay, you started out no names. You just said, this is bullshit. Like, this is what all these assholes are doing. Like, it's not promoting. It's exploiting people pretty much. And then if it doesn't work out, it's fucking the band over in the end too.
Right.
And then, I mean, tons of comments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally somebody's like, why don't you just say who it is? And you did. I don't remember who the person was, but...
Well, the reason I did that is because someone from that production company was in the thread above.
Oh, okay.
And they
saying what?
Just playing middle of the road, trying to put in...
Oh,
little...
come on, guys. We're all friends here.
Right. not saying I'm part of the company that did this, not owning it. But in the thread.
Why would he even involve himself?
Because he was trying to softball, and they saw that the post that they put up originally was what I commented on.
Okay.
I took their post, and I posted it as my post and said,
right.
A local promotion company.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yes.
Okay, and then one of them jumped in and was discussing it, but not saying they're part of that promotion company, not taking credit for it, and on their page they were trying to backpedal off of their statement.
Do you remember what it was? Because it, like, I mean... I understand, like, you don't want to, like, rehash the whole thing or whatever, but, like, the vagueness is kind of... It was something about how they do it wrong, like we were just talking about.
Their post said, a promoter's job is not to promote a show. It's to book the bands and the venue. The band's job is to do this and this and this, sell tickets and promote the show.
Everything. Flyers, everything, right?
And that's where I lost my shit, because I was like, read the definition of promoter.
Right.
The definition of promoter is to promote the show. At minimum, as a promoter, you should have a name big enough that will sell a third of your tickets.
Yeah.
Because people believe in your promotions.
Hmm. So...
And that's why I came back and named them later. And I named them...
Well, there was something else, too. Wasn't it, like, a friend of yours that they were talking about? And, like, he was in the thread, too, and you were like, hey, like, he means you. And he was like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, there's another promotion company out here.
Okay.
That the guy came into the thread and said, you know, we do things with this promotion company and that, and they back us up 100% in what we do, but they didn't
name him. But
right.
Then like 10 comments later, he pops in and you're like, whoa, like, means you.
He's
like,
talking about you. Yeah.
I just thought, and Zach was
like, what the fuck?
It's kind of like this, like the Brady Bunch, like window panes of people, like just sitting in front of the computer going like,
sure.
What the, you know? It's got to be hurting the scene out here, right? I mean, like...
Yeah.
What is like the music scene like out here? And that's kind of a weird question, but meaning like, I realize that you have all these national headliners that come to like Summit and you know that type of stuff. But like, what is really in it for
the local scene?
Local guys.
The local scene out here, and this is where I get myself in trouble all the time. The local scene out here.
What are they going to do?
Yeah, they can hate me all they want. The local scene out here is. It's fucking awesome, and it's an just a disgusting wasteland at the same time. There are so many bands, and there are so many really talented bands. But the problem is, just like podcasting, mm-hmm. anybody can make a band.
Yep.
Anybody can put up a podcast.
Right.
You have to wade through.
Is that a shot? I think that was
no,
shot
not at all. I wouldn't do your podcast if I didn't think it was quality.
Fair enough.
I would have just said, that. Go fuck yourself, and then I would have put up a post about you.
Yeah. And I'd have been like, hey, yeah, that's fucked up about those podcasts. He's like, no, stupid. He means you.
There are a ton of really talented bands, and there's a wasteland of garbage.
Right.
The problem is, just like podcasting, just like internet radio, you've got to wade through miles of shit to get to some quality. Why? Because you and I start a band today.
Right.
And we bring in three guys, and we play for 3 weeks, and we put up a brand new Facebook page, and we try to book a show because we think we should headline the Gothic.
We go in the woods and take a like forced perspective picture. It makes us look tough.
Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, we've been together 3 weeks. Yeah. We've got a Facebook page, and it's got like 90 likes on it. Mm-hmm. So we're ready to headline the Gothic.
Jesus.
Because that's what we deserve. Well, then your buddy in another band breaks up. Their band breaks up, and he's pissed off about some stuff. And you don't – maybe you think that you're the top dog in our band, but then I think that I'm the top dog in our band, and mm-hmm. I think you're holding me back as a band from headlining the Gothic.
Well, I am.
Right.
You're awful, so.
So you and your buddy who just broke up are now hanging out to, you know, his band just broke
side
up.
Side project.
So you're going to put together a side project. So there's another Facebook page and another band that has been around.
That shit happens in local scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. This is one thing I hate about heavy metal. And I know you'll know what I'm talking about, but like, all my favorite dudes, they have like four or five other things going on.
Right.
It's like, why can't you just like, I understand creative outlets and, you know, you want to do an acoustic set or whatever the fuck, but like, can't you just not, like, can't you wait till you're like, this shit's over when it's like, it's awesome right now and you're over there dicking around with something that's not. That happens with people that aren't famous too?
Oh, yeah.
I know that sounds really naive, but I have no idea. Like, why the fuck would you bother?
There's side projects with side projects in them out here. I mean, it's crazy. But then your side project,
right?
You like better now than this.
Well, yeah, because we're fighting,
right?
Yeah.
So this band breaks up,
right?
So now there's me and two other guys. So I take one of them and I go create now another band.
Yeah.
And the other guy that got left out is pissed off at both of us. So he now takes finds a couple of his other buddies.
Yeah, it's Fear Factory, Strapping Young Lad, all that shit all over again.
Yeah.
But nobody gives a fuck. That's the one thing, right? I mean, like, who actually cares about any of it?
But now we've got just an ocean of bands. And the other problem with it is we have no hierarchy in the music scene.
Right.
For a long time here in Denver, there was a hierarchy in the music scene. There were four or five bands that were the – I mean, if the National came through and wanted local support, these were the bands that were getting the call.
Right.
At the same time, they were headlining all the big local venues.
Shows. Yeah.
They, at the time, were choosing their other bands on that show, and they were choosing them by guys that were doing it right.
Right.
Kind of like when we were kids, and when we went to middle school and pushed pennies with our nose, the eighth graders made the sixth graders do that kind of shit. I'm too old for that, huh?
What is he talking about? No, I got you. I'm messing with you.
That shit happened.
Yeah.
Well, the wussification of America has happened in the interim. So okay. there's no more hazing. There's no more earning your stripes.
Oh, okay. Well, and then didn't the hierarchy kind of go out with like the fact that there's no such thing as ever getting signed to anything important?
I don't think there's a need to get signed to anything important.
Agreed. But like, you know, you said now there's no hierarchy. Like,
now there should be a hierarchy. There's bands here that should be.
Well, based on what? Like, what do you think it should be based on? Just drawing like that kind of stuff? Or?
Based on bands that draw, that have been around the scene a long time. There's a local band called Pinochle. Good friend of mine, Chris LaPlante, been in the local music scene for 15 years. Mm-hmm. Played every venue, played big shows, played national shows, played small bar shows. Been through it all.
Right.
Bands like that should be in the hierarchy of the local scene. And they should be picking bands that they bring under their wing and coach them in how to deal with how to deal with venues, how to deal with promoters, how to deal with being local support, knowing when to give your talent away and when to charge for it. But it's not out there. It's everybody for themselves. There's no, you know, there's small band, you know, three or four bands that are a little click here and three or four bands that are a little click here. But there's not bands that are going, all right, we headline Herman's.
Do you think
you haven't fucking earned opening for us yet?
And you're saying that's just based on like there's no such thing as like hazing and confrontation and stuff like that. They just don't want to deal with it because it's like we don't do that anymore.
It's just gone away. It's gone away. You don't earn your stripes.
Well, you know enough people. You ever call these bands out and be like, you know, you need to do this to like reestablish foundation.
Yeah, I call bands out all the time, and I have bands on my show that go, "Man, you're a fucking leader. You guys need to be, you know, you need to take the control back." And there's some movements. There's some movements that are going on. We're in a transitional phase in Denver where there's some things that are starting to happen.
Are the promoters still like in a position where they can kind of like mush that shit down?
That's a part of it. And we're also in a transitional phase there where I'm not myself alone, but myself and others in the scene that have a voice are really calling the bands to action, saying, you guys are the reason that promoters are doing this.
Right.
Because you're allowing letting
it happen, yeah.
If every band tells that promoter, go fuck yourself, that guy's no longer a promoter.
Yeah, he's out. I was talking about this with the like hip-hop around Denver with some buddies of mine that came over the mountain. And another thing I have a problem with as far as like the scene, and like I'm not part of the scene. Let's be clear about that. Like,
right.
I mean, I do this stupid podcast, like, you know, my own thing. Hope it does something sometime, whatever. Right. But what blows me away is how, I mean, everybody is just getting in each other's way, but at the same time, like they're completely their own way.
We call it the bucket of crabs syndrome. The whole scene. If you watch, the whole scene is like a big, like 25-gallon bucket of crabs. One of them starts to climb out and gets his hand up on the top and is going to pull himself out of this bucket and make it. And all the other crabs just grab him and pull him back down into the bucket because instead of going, yeah, you're about to make it out. And like Atlanta, when one guy's
with you,
when one guy's about to break out of Atlanta, six guys break out of Atlanta.
Right.
Why? Because he's starting to break, so they all get behind and they push and they push because they know if he pops, he's got his hand down,
right,
and he's going to bring him up, and he's going to say, "These guys."
Well, is it just like idiocy? Like, why do they do that? Is it like a territory thing, pride thing, or they're just stupid?
A pride thing, because a lot of bands have gotten to that point where they believe that their fans, they've got to keep them in this like veil of darkness, because these are our fans. These are our fans right here in this little tent, and if that. If that zipper opens and they see that there's another band, they might like them. And if they like them, they can't like us. They don't realize that none of us only like one band. Let me open up your iPod. Is there only one band on your iPad right there?
Yeah, actually.
There's just one band?
Metallica, yeah.
That's it. And that's it.
Yeah, I have a problem.
Yeah.
No, of course not. I mean, but here's the other thing. Like, as far as like live music and stuff like that, local music, like, people that support local music, like, it's all of you. It's
right.
Not just, you know, like...
And we're getting there. We're getting there very, very slowly again, where bands are going, hey, if you like us, these are our boys. Check out their stuff, too. It's pretty good.
Well, why wouldn't you do that? That's what I mean.
And then we're starting to build shows where people will come to see the first band and stay through the last band because all three or four bands on the bill have said, these guys are awesome, and these guys are awesome. We're all playing together. Come check it out. If you like us, you're going to want to stay for the whole show.
Well, and the other thing that I would say to bands, like, I mean, maybe you'll agree with this, maybe not, I don't know, but like, I think the hierarchy is important, completely. But I also think that there should be room to be like, okay, even if it's one bar and like this is like the headliner at the bar, like have them like, you know, feature or whatever, and be like, you know, hey, you came to see us, but you know, we're going on right now because we want you guys to hang around for these guys.
Do you know how many bands I do promotion with? And other promoters and venues are doing shows with now, and a lot of local bands. My wife is in a local band, and they don't headline shows that they're headlining.
That's what I mean. Like, you're trying to push somebody else, right?
For two reasons.
It's fucking great.
For two reasons. A selfish reason: the fattest part of the crowd is usually about the feature spot.
Right. Okay.
And the other part is to shine the light up on somebody else.
Well, it makes you look like the good guy. You win-win.
Shine the light. You go, yeah, it's our show, but we book these guys to headline it because we think they're awesome.
I learned that from stand-up comedians. Like, you know, the guy that, like, there's the one guy that he's the headliner, right?
Yep.
And then, you know, he's like, well, wait a minute. You know, this guy's fucking funny. I'll feature. You close.
Yeah, three guys.
They get to see everybody.
Three guys go out on the road together as comedians.
Yeah.
That headliner knows that partway through the little tour that they're on, the smartest thing to do is to back himself into the feature spot and pump his buddy up to be a headliner.
Yeah, it's win-win. I mean, there's no negatives. There's no downside.
There's going to be a time when you need that back.
Well, so how can these guys, how can these bands turn it around? Like, because I mean, you're saying how it can be done, but is the attitude ever going to come around?
Man, I hope so.
Like, what would make it turn around? Because there's no money. There's no, like,
the young part of the scene, the local music scene, and man, the young part of right now in America is a bunch of wussified, entitled, spoiled little shits.
Yeah.
Who believe, and that's a lot of the bands that are doing the things like getting together 3 weeks and believing that they deserve to headline the Summit or the Gothic or...
Well, what the fuck? Like, how can somebody just, like, mush that bullshit, like...
Well, do you remember? That's how it used to be.
The promoters or
that's
something?
That's how it used to be.
Yeah, because you didn't bands be like, hey, we have a band, and, like, we have all this new gear because we're from fucking Cherry Creek.
Right.
You know, we need to play here. And they're like, I don't even know who you are. Like, do you know how to...
Earn
like,
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's not how it goes now?
The problem with it is venues have seen the way of the pay-to-play.
And it's just better for their wallet, and that's all that really matters, or what?
And these young kids, their first three or four shows out, it's not unlike an MMA fighter who gets his first pro fight on a local level.
Right.
If I turn pro, I can sell 150 tickets to my first fight.
Okay.
I can probably sell 135 to 150 tickets to my second fight. My third fight, people have seen me.
Right.
I'm either good and they're willing to come to my third fight, or I've sold them tickets twice
and you're not
and it wasn't that entertaining.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So, as a venue, and you're looking out for your bottom line, you take that young band who you know is probably it's their first or second or third show, and they're selling tickets to everyone they know because it's the first time they're going to get to see them play. They can suck balls. They've already sold the tickets.
It's already done, yeah.
The venue cleans up their money.
Jesus.
Same thing with promoters.
This whole thing just makes me really sad.
Instead of keeping them where they belong, letting them be freshmen, letting the freshmen be freshmen, and the seniors be seniors, because eventually the freshman can become the senior. And that's how it should be. I'm older than you, and I grew up in a little bit different situation. Yeah. Man, when I was a freshman in high school, I didn't fucking cross anybody, and I was an athlete. I was a varsity athlete as a freshman. I still knew that I didn't fucking cross the seniors.
Now, okay, you said like, you know, it's the pussification of the pussification
of America, yeah.
Yeah, but like, let me see how I can word this. Like, is it just like an understanding? Or is it just like a laziness? Like, how come none of these bands just fucking step on the head of these younger ones or the ones that haven't earned it?
How come society hasn't slapped all these mouthy fucking kids that you see everywhere you go? How come you see 15-year-old kids flipping you off and talking shit, you know, in the fucking Burger King drive-thru?
I think it's funny how, like, we've kind of circled around, like, the music scene in Denver is like a microcosm to like all the problems in the whole country.
Oh, it absolutely is. But I mean,
no, you're not wrong. I just think it's funny. I never would have made that like. Yeah. I mean, it's a big circle, you know.
But it's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's the same kids.
Yeah,
it's the same kids doing the same shit. How often do you get pissed off when you go somewhere and there's a 15-year-old kid acting completely disrespectful to public? Not, I mean, not to you maybe personally, but just to society.
Constantly, but I tell her to go sit in the car. You know, I'm tired of it. But,
right.
Well, yeah. Now we're getting to like real broad issues and stuff like that. But like, have you ever thought about just like buying a venue and like just doing it your way?
No.
Because you don't want to deal with how it is now. Or the people, anyway.
I have no want to be in that business.
You're just like, it's fucked, and I don't want any part of it.
No want.
All right.
I do very, very few and very select shows. Mm-hmm. Trevor Rock's Denver Presents shows. I do all of them at Cheers, which is on 120th in Washington. And the reason being is because Rob, who owns the venue, sees things the way I do. and we have a great agreement. 100% of the door of every show I do up there goes to the bands.
Do you do it just so, like, you know, maybe people will see what you're doing and be like,
I do it to piss other promoters off. I do it to bring the right bands in and show them how it should be done, how they should be treated. My wife's band just did a Thursday night show. A Thursday.
Rough draw?
Thursday night's probably one of the worst nights to do anything in Denver.
Yeah.
Wednesday's better than Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's her band?
The Hits.
Okay.
It's an all-girl indie rock band.
Cool.
I had three bands, Lavella, The Hits, and The Tatas, all girl bands, on a Thursday night. Okay? Let me ask you this. You played a Thursday night show at a local venue about a month before that.
Mm-hmm.
On Broadway.
Yeah.
How much did you make?
Nothing.
You played a show for me 2 weeks ago on a Thursday. How much did you make?
I think we made like 70 or 80, something like that.
And all three bands made that.
So you're just saying, like, since you made the guarantee, like, that's just how it should go?
I gave the bands 100% of the door.
Oh, okay.
I said, here's the deal. And I do that so that bands can see how much the venues are making on the door that is not making it to the band's pockets. How much the promoter's making on the door that's not making it to the band's pocket. They played a show at a music venue in downtown where the music scene is and made $0.
That is pretty ridiculous.
And that's happened on more than one occasion.
And
that's what you were talking about, like you know, offering like free content. It's like, you know, at some point you got to be like, this is bullshit.
You have
like,
to pick. You have to pick when to give your talent away and when to charge for it.
Yeah.
There are times when you're doing a benefit, when it's the right thing,
right?
That you just say, yeah, we'll play that show for free. Take what you would have had to pay us and put it towards the cause.
Right.
And too many people out here also. How many times a week do you get hit up with things where the person contacting you tells you, well, we can't pay you, but it'll be great
exposure.
That happens all the time.
Now, that made sense when, you know, Rick Dees was a DJ.
Right.
You know, and they're giving away pizza parties with Richie Valens, you know, like.
Yeah. Then you go, yeah.
But no, that's the whole thing. Like, I think that's what in the end, like, that you know more of it than I do. But it, to me, it's like the fact that there's no such thing as, like, a Roadrunner contract or an Electric contract. Like,
sure.
All that shit.
Like, but as a local band, I've made this analogy before. As a local band, you don't need a record label. You don't need a promotion company. There's a country artist.
Okay.
What's his name? Let me Google him.
Local guy or what?
No. He's from West Texas.
Lubbock, Texas. Can you? I don't know what your guys' setup is like in here, but can you, like, look at YouTube stuff and, like, play the the audio? Really?
Uh-huh.
Sweet. What the fuck?
What's his name? Ah, shit. I can't think of his name right now. There's a country artist out of West Texas, Pat Green. His name is Pat Green.
All right.
Okay. Pat Green had offers from record labels, but they wanted to take all of his money.
Yeah,
and basically, we'll sign you, but you know, you're only going to make this. Turned down every offer. Pat Green sold 1 million CDs at shows and out of his trunk.
Jesus.
He owned West Texas Country.
Right.
At that point, a record label came to him and said, "We want you on our label." And he said, "It'll cost you this." And they said, "We can't do it." And he said, "When you can sign this, I'll be on your label."
Right.
No negotiating.
Well, why would he? I mean,
he owned West Texas Country.
Yeah.
Why? And in this age, it's even easier and even better. Why do I need a record label? Tell me that.
I'm not saying you do, but what I'm saying
in general, tell me why I need a record label.
I don't know. I mean, like now or ever?
It now.
You don't.
Because
there's all
it's
these
a
other
digital
avenues.
Age.
Yeah, you don't have to.
I can put
shit.
My music on iTunes all by myself.
Right.
I can get all of the money off my iTunes sales.
Right.
I can press CDs.
But isn't
I can
like,
press 1,000 CDs with a jewel case and a 4-page insert for $1,100.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go sell them for $5 if I'm that cheap.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now I've made 400% profit.
Yeah.
Or I can sign with a record label, and they can press a CD, 1,000 of them, for less than $1,100 bucks, and I can get 30 cents per CD.
Yeah.
What are they going to do for me?
Well, no, the point I was trying to make is like the big, you know, the big crown jewel at the end of the thing, like that's what doesn't exist anymore, and I think that's why these bands are letting this bullshit go on.
There's even,
you know?
I mean, Vans Warped Tour. Mm-hmm. Local bands are playing Vans Warped Tour. Non-signed bands are making the tour. Why?
Well, isn't that the tour forward thinking?
Like, well, they have some nationals on it.
Okay.
But they have locals that don't just play this local show.
Right.
They pick them up and take them 4, 5, 6 dates.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah. Why? Because they have some digital clout.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. Record labels right now don't want to look at you unless you've got a YouTube video up with 500,000 views, which means you've done all the fucking work.
Right.
Why do you need them?
Yeah.
Sure. You've done all the work. Now they're going to come up and they're going to help you out. They're going to sign you to a contract and give you some upfront money. That's not upfront money anymore.
That's the one thing. That's the one thing that keeps me from screaming about it all the time is the fact that like everybody that I have sat across from, you know, bands or rappers or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I say like, what do you want? You know, like you're not Tupac. Like you're not going to go on tour. Like none of that shit exists anymore. Like you can go on your own tour. Like small shit, whatever. But like, is that enough for you? And luckily they're like, yeah.
Well, you know, they can do national tours.
Well, you know, but you know what I mean.
But like, you got to do it right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found a formula that works. You play your hometown. You play this town that you own, but you better fucking own it.
Right.
But you only play it every 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You pick another town. You take Phoenix. And you travel to Phoenix once a month, and you play it like it's your hometown.
Right.
You pick a bar that you start out in as a local band. And you build it there.
Murder 10 times in a row.
And you kill it, and you build a following there. Now you're playing Denver once a month and Phoenix once a month. And you've built those up to be where it's enough that you're not paying out of your pocket to get back and forth. Mm-hmm. Then you pick a third town. Okay? We're going to take Las Cruces, whatever. Okay? Now I'm going to play Denver once a month. I'm going to play Phoenix once a month. And I'm going to play Las Cruces once a month. I'm playing 3 times a month. But I'm not trying to eat off the same plate every week.
Right.
So now I've got 3 towns that I'm working. Then I add a 4th town. Now I've got a little swirl going. Mm-hmm. I've got this much of the map covered. Okay, I'm
to where if the following is big enough, like it's not just those 4 towns, maybe like the
outlying towns are drawing in. Yeah. Now I'm playing that, and I've got all those locked down. They can't deny me. So now I'm going to move out a little farther.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got to go a little farther. Or longer in between shows in Denver, in Phoenix, in Las Cruces, in Reno. Because now I've got 6 cities I'm working.
Okay, wait a minute. Now you just made me think of something else. Like, what do you make of bands that do like an Indiegogo or like a Kickstarter thing to fund a tour? You know what I mean?
It's a mixed bag for me. In the fact that if your band is solid enough, you don't need it.
Well, what if in 2 days the hits came to you and they were like, we're going to start an Indiegogo because I'm tired of waiting for this. We're going to see if we can go on tour.
I would say it's very apparent that you're not popular enough and big enough to go on tour because you need an Indiegogo to do that.
Without the handout. Okay.
You haven't built your local cred up enough.
Yeah.
And your bank account up enough. To afford to go and start playing Phoenix.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. Do any of these bands do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's a couple. Pinochle, that I mentioned before, has 2 or 3 towns that they're local bands in.
Okay.
That's
a weird concept, yeah. They're local bands in all these different towns.
Why not?
No, it's good.
Why not?
They should.
Because then you're owning a bigger piece of the map.
Yeah.
And how is it then? Then you've got 6 cities. Then you've got 8 cities. Now you're on tour. You're big in 8 cities.
Why don't you like have classes for these idiots or something?
I do. Once a week right here on TrevorRocksDenver.com from 8 to 10 p.m.
No, I admit, like, I know nothing about this stuff, and it's cool to hear you tell, like, because everything you're saying makes sense. I like your take on, you know, all these assholes that do it wrong and all that kind of stuff, and I just appreciate you telling me about that. I'm going to kind of move somewhere else. Like, what's with the delicious sandwich thing?
I just made a delicious sandwich.
What is it?
I do a morning show.
Ruining my life.
I do a morning show with Matt Need, formerly of KBPI's Uncle Nasty Show.
Yeah, yeah.
He and I do a morning show every day from 9 to 11 here at TRadioV.com. And we were sitting in a break one day, just bullshitting back and forth, and we were both looking at Facebook, and we saw, like, probably right at the same time, we saw like five or six of the most mundane, stupid posts in the world. I'm on my way to the grocery store. I just dropped the kids off at school. And we were discussing it, and we thought, what is the most ridiculous and completely trivial thing we could put up? I just made a delicious sandwich.
This thing...
So that's our hashtag.
Yeah. You got me.
Right.
I'm just like flipping through, and I'm like, what the fuck are these guys talking about? Like, it had to be something. I get it. You know?
Yeah.
But like, it messed with me so bad, like subliminally, that I mentioned you in a tweet, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about, but I actually went to Subway and I bought a sandwich.
Right.
So
you
ruined my whole day.
I made you have a delicious sandwich.
So I want to kind of tie this up.
It's the power of suggestion through digital media. We put up something that had absolutely no meaning.
Do you guys have like a pretty serious call to action with all this stuff? Like let's say, you know, you throw something up on Twitter, or you know,
mm-hmm.
like, do you guys have like a pretty good reach and people actually do what you tell them? Do you ever like fuck with your people?
You've seen I just made a delicious sandwich.
Yeah, but that's not really fucking with people. Like,
really? Really?
It's a hashtag.
How many times did you see it get retweeted?
Easy, like four.
Like,
I don't know.
And just in people that you saw that...
You're right. Well, do you ever, like, just want to, like, be evil and do something, like, worse than a sandwich? Like
no.
throw, like, a fake show and just have everybody show up and...
No, because that ruins your credibility.
All right, serious. All right.
You build the name and you bust your ass because, as you know...
So, okay.
Internet radio and podcasting...
Yeah.
...is a cafe-style media where people have to seek you out and want to hear you.
Yeah.
So if you have people that are seeking you out and they want to hear you,
and you fuck around with them,
and you fuck
out.
Them off,
yeah.
There's a podcast down the street waiting for them.
Are you good with all this right now, or like what do you want to get to?
To be honest with you, I'm kind of living my dream.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Like I'm not doing anything. Like, I don't know if you've seen too much of what's going on. Like, I barely just got my first advertiser. It's fucking LifeLock.
Sure.
$700 a pop. Nobody's gonna buy that shit. But you know what? It's got a cool little robot thing on my site, so I think it's cool. So far, like I said, it's just for fun. Like, you know, people seem to be enjoying it, whatever. But it is just weird how, like, just the ability to come in here and just, like offload some
yeah.
shit. You said you do the political show, too?
No.
I just think...
We go into politics on the morning show a lot, though.
Does it get ugly?
I lose my shit.
All right. Well, we do a lot of politics and stuff. Like, I have one guy that he's a complete fundamental constitutionalist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, to me, he's a total psychopath. But, you know, I agree with almost everything he says, you know what I mean?
But he's to the extreme.
Oh, yeah. I kind of want to draw you in on something here.
Go ahead.
Guns.
Yeah.
Pot.
Pro guns. Pro weed.
Did you see there was a shooting at the convention center?
Of course there was.
Was it you?
Fuck no.
What do you mean, of course there was? Why do you say that?
Because
it's a gathering of people, so something awful has to happen?
Have you been to Denver for a gathering of people? Like the
Not
People's
recently.
Fair, the Taste of Colorado?
The shit goes down and everything, or what?
We have created a society where the dregs of society can come out and believe that they can act like complete and utter fuckheads at any social gathering. I won't go to the People's Fair. I won't go to the Taste of Colorado. Why? Because everybody there has a wife beater on and a puffed up fucking chest.
Yeah.
Why can't we just all go and have a good time? Why? Because everything has to come to heads. Everybody has to do shit.
Well, what do you think? It's just all this entitled, like, there's no policing, there's no...
A lot of it.
nobody gets punched in the face anymore. Like,
hey, as much as I love that we're advanced as a society, I hate the point that we've advanced to socially, because it's not advanced to me. Excuse me. The way that
it's definitely ratcheted back to, like, you know, we're completely awkward, and
the way that it should go is, what are you reading, babe?
I'm on the Vans website.
Oh, nice. She's just hanging out, producing Vans.
But we stopped talking to her, so she's like,
yeah, she do it. I think we need to go back to raising our kids.
Super kids?
No, raising our kids instead of dealing with having kids.
No, that's yeah.
If I lipped off in public, whack.
Yeah.
And I didn't lip off in public. If I disrespected one of my elders, I knew exactly what was going to happen. If I acted like an asshole in school, I knew there was going to be hell to pay.
Yeah.
Now, your kid acts like an asshole in school, yet you go to school and blame the teacher?
Yeah.
Your kid gets bad grades because you're never home?
Are you pro-bully?
I'm not pro-bully.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
In the aspect that you're talking about, yeah. I am 100% pro-bully. I'm all about telling the fat kid he's fat.
I agree.
I'm all about I put up a huge post several months back talking about what I call the wussification of America, which is kind of the anti-bully movement.
Yeah. Everybody gets a fair shake. Nobody loses.
There's a purple ribbon for participation for everything. When I grew up, you tried out for the baseball team.
Yeah.
If you didn't make the baseball team, if you weren't good enough,
they cut you. Yeah, you weren't on the list.
And if you wanted to play baseball, you busted your ass for the entire next year to be better so you could try out again and make it. That's when America was great. When it wasn't about that's my president or your president or I'm a this or I'm a that. We were Americans, and when our president stood at the podium, that was our president, and we backed his ass. Mm-hmm. We may not agree with everything, but if he said it, we backed it. When it came around to election time, if we didn't agree with what he did, we voted him out and got somebody else in, but we believed that he was the president.
What do you think it is that keeps the nation from being a nation during every other time other than tragedy? Like, what is it that we just can't, like something awful happens, the Boston thing, right?
And I hate to say it because I'm a Democrat, okay. but we as liberals have made everything
so soft
and untouchable that we all live in our own little world with our own little blinders and our own little this and my son wanted to you know, be the captain of the football team. Well, we can't have captains anymore because we hurt Billy's feelings.
Right.
Well, Billy knows that there's no repercussions. There's no drawback to not. There's no. There's no earn it. There's no sorry, kid. And we're not at home with our kids. We're not raising our kids. We're inconvenienced by the fact that we have children.
I agree. I mean, luckily, I mean, that's not my... I'm not in that boat. You know?
Right. But as Americans, I mean, we don't raise our kids.
Well, there's a lot of things that we don't like.
We don't, we don't even check our kids' homework.
That's true.
If our kids do homework, we go, did you do your homework? And they go, yep.
Well, you know, now it's sick. Like, okay, I've screamed about I haven't on the podcast at all, but the whole Occupy thing, right? Because now
biggest joke in America.
What you're talking about is, like, you know, entitled kids and all that kind of stuff. Like, guess what? They're adults now.
Yeah.
And they're the same shitheads.
Yeah. They were raised without boundaries as entitled little shits. And now we have an Occupy movement of fucking douchebag hipsters sitting in a group with their iPads that they don't even know what the fuck they want out of the Occupy movement. And here in Denver, we elected a collie as the leader of our Occupy movement.
Are you serious?
That's something to be taken serious. That's how important that movement was. We elected a collie. When the leaders of our political system here in Denver went to the Occupy movement and said, "What are your demands?" They went, "Huh?
Jesus. No, I know. Like, they're the same people that they go, "Why do I have to pay that loan back?" Like, the bank should have known that I couldn't pay it back, and so it's their fault now. Like, that's how fucking ridiculous.
I was in a conversation with a group of people about 3 weeks ago, and this caused me to lose my mind. They believe.
So wait a minute. How on a scale of 1 to 10, Kristen, where is he at right now? Is he like a 6?
Oh, not even close.
Like,
what?
Do you like losing my mind? Do you like throw shit down? And you like walk out, like, because you're getting amped up. You're getting loud, and I like it.
He is definitely getting amped up. He's very passionate about a lot of things and has a certain viewpoint. But I would say probably as far as blowing up, you're probably like in the middle.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not close to losing my shit.
Not
well,
completely.
I'm
going to
see if I can push you a little bit. Are you a conspiracy guy?
No,
not at all.
I believe that the government has done things to cover other things up to keep them away from the public who can't accept or wrap their head around what had to be done. So we've softballed it to the public. But at the same time, at no point do I believe that the government is responsible for every fucking thing that happens.
Let me just, I'm rapid firing you now.
Okay.
If I was to say, you know, the Boston bombing tragedy, you know, luckily, very little death.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
So could have been worse, right?
Absolutely.
What would you say if I said, I kind of sort of think that this might have been a governmental dry run as to how easy and how quickly they could shut a city down and like quarantine a whole city's population just to fuck with them and like, you know, whatever, you know, just to see if they could do it.
I would say, congratulations, you've now entered the tinfoil hat society.
So because people, no conspiracy, none of that stuff.
I
said that, but I don't believe that.
Right. Just so for me, what I saw was what we see in tragedy, and that is that especially a city like Boston, which is a blue collar. I mean, that's my town.
Yeah,
they're blue collar. We handle shit in the neighborhood.
Right.
And Boston is probably one of the only cities in America where the cops could say, "This city's fucking shut down. We're finding them," and everybody in the city goes, "Fucking A right, we are."
Right. Crack and that's, watch the news.
And that's why the guy called and said, "Hey, I think one of these fuckers is in my boat. I went out, the tarp's cut. Get your ass right here. Right fucking here.
I got the cocksucker." That's funny. One last question.
Okay.
We'll wrap it up finally. I need to prepare better. You totally made me way too nervous. I'm sorry, everybody. I suck at this.
You got nothing to be nervous
about.
I'm glad.
Like, I like the fact that you rattle on. I love guests that do that.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about content with me.
Right. That's awesome. When was the last time that you lost your shit? And let's see if she can confirm.
When was the last time? I recently...
And I want to know, like, what happened. I don't want to be like, you know, what happened? She wasn't listening again?
No.
Son of a bitch!
She's listening.
I am listening.
There's a very specific way I have to handle this because there's some fallout that...
Hasn't played out yet or what?
Right.
Okay.
I lost my shit because I had someone in my organization that I felt was not handling themselves in an appropriate way, overstepping their bounds. And when I called them on it, there's absolutely zero acceptance of any type of responsibility. And that shit, I can deal with, you know what, I fucked up, I'm sorry, let's fix it and move on.
Right.
I can't deal with someone who... blatantly can't even, they've convinced themselves of their own insanity.
So what happened? Like, you make a confrontation and you...
They're no longer here.
Okay. That's very political. They're no longer with us. We wish them well in their future endeavors.
I don't. I can't wait for him to fail ethically.
I'm sure he will. Yeah. Without you. I mean, that's why I called you. I need you. You know? I love you.
You don't need me.
Just kidding.
You're doing well.
I appreciate that.
You are doing well.
So where, like, besides the show that's live right now, like, where is all your stuff at?
You can find me on Facebook. Personally, you can search Trevor O'Connor or just go facebook.com/iRockDenver. That would be my personal page. If you search Trevor Rocks Denver, that is my fan page. That's where a lot of my musical rants go up. And then my website is www.trevorrocksdenver.com. And you can catch the archives of my radio show. I post print interviews. Sometimes I just go on rants and just type blogs up there.
Right. Well, go check that shit out. Now I'm going to act like I'm talking to my people. The obvious ones, gofromthere.podbean.com. Facebook.com/gofromthere, all one word. Go on YouTube. I just started doing YouTube videos, and they're only a couple of minutes because I don't want to bore you with our bullshit, you know. And I'm going to ask you about one if we can do one when we're
absolutely.
Our
can you pull up YouTube?
No. Like We're gonna do one real quick on my.
Oh, we're gonna make one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man.
Let's see what else. iTunes, all that other regular stuff. I think that's it. So I appreciate it, man. I'm sorry it was like all over the place, but man, a lot of information.
That's how I do it.
That I know a lot of information that I know people I know will benefit from hearing. So
hopefully,
definitely appreciate it, and I'm glad you didn't lose your shit,
dude. Your podcast has more likes than my Facebook page.
Yeah, but it's like they're all squiggly line folks.
Oh, fuck
my,
that.
Baghdad, it's huge. I don't understand.
You're huge in the Arab nations?
Seriously, I don't know what the fuck.
How'd that happen?
I don't know.
I don't get I if people,
I would like to think it was like, you know, maybe like, you know, soldiers or, you know, something like that, but I don't
But soldiers
so.
Don't write in squiggly line.
Exactly.
Yeah, I delete the squiggly line people just because if I can't under fucking stand you.
You can't just, that's racist.
No, it's not. It's, I don't fucking know what
you're
saying.
It's fucking racist.
I don't know what you're saying.
Bing translations.
I cannot understand the words that are coming from your mouth.
Oh my God. It was fun. And hey, thank you guys. I super appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Sorry to your audience for me being shit. But
oh no, anytime you're in Denver and you need to come down and record something, just let me know.
I appreciate that, man.
I'm here for you, man. I'm here for good guys doing the right shit.
Oh wait, hang on. I was gonna say real quick. There, I just had a stroke.
It's okay.
Jesus Christ.
It's 4:20.
As far as my actual show, like it's all story based. Like because we didn't get into that. Like if you go listen to this from your stuff, story based stuff. I talk about buying hookers, the time my dad walked in on me banging a chick, and how that brought us closer together as a family. That's serious.
She was a hot chick, huh?
Yes, we'll go there. What else are we talking about? Lots of cancer stories, which is weird, but and not just cervical cancer, like a lot of them. There's got to be 20. I'm just kidding, but more than one seems like a lot. So
maybe you're susceptible.
Is it like
you're giving that shit out?
Well, is there such thing as like a cancer dick? Like
I think you have cancer dick.
No, I didn't give it to him.
How do you know?
Because I'd met him talking to him. I didn't sleep with him. And then, hey, come up, oh. Be on my podcast now that your vagina hurts. That was awful.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's just like story-based stuff. Like every once in a while I'll do something alone. Like the Sandy Hook thing I kind of got weird about. I love that Christopher Dorner.
You know, okay, yeah.
That was a good one. I was like, you know what? I think I might root for this guy. I've had some legal issues, and I'm like, you know what?
I kind of rooted for him.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't root for him. What I wanted him to handle his agenda.
Yeah.
Because obviously there was some fucked up shit. When you push a guy that was military and cop that far, there's some fucked up shit. He got buried in some crap.
Have you seen Serpico?
Yeah.
Like it was worse than that.
Right.
You know. And so I was kind of like,
I wanted him to handle his shit, and then at that I wanted him to have a tunnel out of that cabin and just disappear.
Yeah.
And just.
No, you know what I wanted? Just to make it kind of like bring it all the way back around to good guy. They apologize.
And then
surrenders.
He exposes all of the.
No. They apologize like he wanted. He surrenders and then, you know, due process. That would have been like the actual thing that I would have liked to see.
Fuck that.
Well, yeah, I know. You're a psycho.
Yeah.
You want the bloody Scarface.
I wanted him to handle his shit and then disappear and then all of a sudden the evidence show up on the right guy's desk.
Oh, so you want like The Departed.
Yeah, like. Yeah, a little bit of The Departed. That's one of my favorite movies, too.
Oh, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think that's about it. What was that? I also have a lot of good-looking women on my show. And it's,
so you should have had my wife?
It's completely... She was on here.
Not on camera, though.
Well, that was your decision. I had nothing to do with that. I didn't even know we were going to come in here. I thought we were going to like do it in the alleyway. Not do it, like the podcast. But, yeah, I do that, you know... Jesus. I do that for all you people out there. Like, you know, they say like, don't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
Like, no, stupid. That's why they have covers.
Right.
You know, look at the pictures on the show.
If you like the picture,
just listen to it.
So we'll
I don't talk to just bimbos. Okay. They have stories. They have a purpose.
When you post this show, just pull a picture of my wife off the internet and put that as the show logo.
Sounds good.
Cause then people will listen.
Right. Or maybe we could do
you
like
have
some
to pick
kind of
a good picture though.
Can we do like a Godzilla, and like put your head on the Godzilla, and then like your inner hand, or King Kong, or whatever.
King Kong, yeah.
Yeah. I'm such an asshole. Cut
King Kong
out,
versus
right?
Godzilla. That's where you're going.
No.
Godzilla would kill me.
No, I just stupid.
I was trying to help you.
I said,
I know. I was just trying to help you.
I know. but I don't like that. I don't like being like, you know, the crab bucket thing. I'm like, yeah, nah, just go.
Fuck it. If you can get out on your own, you can go.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you end this?
It's your show. How do you end it?
I usually just hit the end button. Like, hey,
you don't have an outro?
No. Well, no. I tag a little song at the end, but like, usually my friend will say something stupid, like, or he'll say the N-word or whatever.
Do you have the song on your iPad?
It's The House That Jack Built by Metallica.
Can you cue that?
Well, after 15 seconds, it's not really going to have the...
The House That Jack Built by Metallica. We'll just keep talking.
Do you like Metallica?
I think Metallica absolutely 100% changed metal when they arrived on the scene.
Okay.
They are not unlike Nirvana, who changed the music scene.
Can you start it at like 40 seconds?
Yes.
I'm getting all like, hey, and do this.
all of a sudden, you want a studio, huh?
Dude, I want help so bad, but like I can't offer nothing for it. You know, like, yeah, you know, okay. How do you book for your show? Do you have somebody that does that?
No, people usually call me.
Fuck you. I mean, that's happened to me like 3 times. And every other time, it's like, hey, like I felt okay. I felt,
dude,
really bad.
Do you know how long? Do you know how long I called people on the phone and begged them to be on my show? Three fucking years.
I've never begged. Like, I've been pretty lucky. Like,
oh, I begged.
But like with you, I'm like, I didn't realize that you had all this going on. And I'm like, let's just see if he says. And you were like, yeah. And then I started feeling bad because I was like really bugging you a lot. It felt like, you know.
No, not at all.
But
you were just confirming and solidifying details.
Yeah. Are you like, sorry,
go ahead,
keep going.
We can talk over it.
Do you ever like ask somebody or, and then they're like, well, what do I get out of it? And you're like, fuck you. Like, that's my problem with the booking
immediately
right now.
Upon someone saying, what do I get out of it? I think my automatic verbal response is, I don't know. Why don't you go fuck your mother?
He's not joking when
crank
he says
it up.
That.
If I could plug real quick, Thursday morning on TRadioV.com/Denver on Unfiltered and Unaffected with myself and Matt Need, we will have Dizzy Reed,
what?
Keyboard player from Hall of Fame musicians Guns N' Roses, in studio with us from 9 to 11 a.m.
Where'd you find him?
I'm doing a show with him on the 27th.
If you can help me out, like throw me some bookings, that'd be cool. You know? I'll be here till Monday, so...
Just tell me what you need. All right,
I need an assistant, yeah. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Open doors, so I walk inside. Close my eyes, find my place to hide. And the shake is a tear.